grateful for music. What a gift. This past spring, I learned about a friend having been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And sadly, and too soon, he has passed away. During the visits we shared between his diagnosis and his dying, the topic of forgiveness came up repeatedly. It's not surprising, is it? There's something about finite time that causes us to think back on our lives, on what we've done well, what we haven't done well, what we want to feel clear about at the end of the proverbial day. This day is fragile. Soon it will end. And once it has vanished, it will not come again. What a gift these days we are given. And often it feels, even in the most challenging times, that there are too few of them. What is that joke about the two guys who go into a restaurant and one of them said, "The food here is terrible." And the other one says, "Yeah, and there's so little of it." You don't know that one? Maybe it's the portions are so small, at any rate. Our lives, filled with days of great joy and filled with days of despair, and too few. We are all aware they are not infinite, of course, though some of us are or are made to be more aware of this than others. Writer and activist Audre Lorde writes of the deep reflection she experienced when faced with surgery to remove a possibly malignant tumor. She says, "In becoming forcibly and essentially aware of my own mortality and of what I wished and wanted for in my life, however short it might be, priorities and omissions became strongly etched in a merciless light." Why is it, I wonder, we are so cavalier when we think we have forever? That the light we shine on our days and ourselves, to be honest, is so much softer when we think they stretch out in a long line in front of us. I wonder if age teaches us the impact of our actions or reminds us that arguing with life is like tilting at windmills. I was reading back from Don Quixote. "Fortune is guiding our affairs better than we ourselves could have wished," he says to Sancho Panza. "Do you see over yonder 30 or 40 hulking giants? I intend to do battle with them and slay them. With their spoils, we shall begin to be rich, for this is a righteous war, and the removal of so foul a broad from off the face of the earth is a service God will bless." And Sancho says, "Take care, sir. Those over there are not giants, but windmills." We tilt and we tilt at what is not slayable, not even, as it turns out, a giant. I think that's why I loved Meg Barnhouse's essay this morning from her book, Waking Up the Karma Fairy, which I recommend to you. The two blue spots, her sign of resistance. As long as they're there, those stark blue dots in a sea of purple, her work is not done. And maybe the image of unfinished tasks is more relatable to us than the windmills. The dots are her illusion of control. They are her protection against the merciless light that requires our assessment. "Don't be asking me about forgiveness," the dots say. "Don't you see? I'm not done." We try so hard. Meg speaks, if you ever have a chance to hear her. She is a Unitarian Universalist minister who serves in Austin right now. Speaks with a gentle Southern accent. That and her wry humor effect a sort of snarky stubbornness. When I read her words, I hear her intention. "The two blue spots on the side of my house are a mute and unblinking witness that I still fight. Bless my heart." She likes to say that to others. But life is not infinite, and even though we are not blameless, there is a bigger tree of forgiveness that needs our constant and repetitive tending, just like our teeth. Sometimes I think it is our biggest task to forgive life itself for its rampant imperfections, even in the midst of its great beauty. To refuse to forgive life, to ignore the chance, is both hubris and arrogance, as though our existence is somehow earned or deserved. This is all gift. We know this. We are borrowed for it. We are borrowing for a time. So I wonder at how difficult it is for us to cut life some slack. I mentioned last week that Sunday evening was the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, which begins the 10 days of awe, during which the book of life is said to be open. God is considering your next year, so it's best to be making amends for your wrongdoings and apologizing to those you have offended or hurt. The holiday culminates, of course, in Yom Kippur, which is, I think, beginning Tuesday night, the Day of Atonement, when the book, at the end of it, will be closed and the fate of another year determined. I've always thought there was something refreshingly direct about the idea of this period of time to reflect and atone, that one takes the time to make right what was not been right, a kind of annual reset button that requires an honest assessment and an effort to make amends directly to those we have hurt. It also requires a willingness on our parts to forgive those who need our forgiveness. Sometimes I wonder if it isn't easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to forgive others. There's a Buddhist story about two ex-prisoners of war who meet after many years, and the first one asks, "Have you forgiven your captors yet?" And the second man answers, "No, never." "Well, then," the first man replies, "they still have you in prison." If it's hard to forgive each other, and often difficult to forgive ourselves, it is certainly no less difficult to forgive this life. I am reminded also that our tradition, Unitarian Universalism, somehow and sometimes falls short around the practice of forgiveness in general. We don't have the rituals of the creedal faith of our friends. Our Jewish friends have the high holy days, our Christian friends the regular practice of confession, either personal or the general confession, and the offering of God's grace. So I wonder if for us the practice of forgiveness is framed in our effort to see the world as it is, with all its troubles, with all its challenges, to recognize that we are in truth co-creators of the imperfection and to work towards improving what we can. There is forgiveness implicit in knowing that we can't make it perfect, the proverbial one starfish at a time that we love so much, a beach covered with starfish, and we throw them back in as we find them. We have lost things in our lives and continue to lose them. Homes to fires or finance, jobs, lovers, children, health. This week alone, storms, flooding, gas explosions, shark attacks. We get angry or we mourn and sometimes rail against the realities. But I think our tradition requires that we do not turn away from it. I see you, life, and sometimes I don't like you, but I forgive you for what you are plaguing me with. And by the way, I love you every gift of a day. And in this seeing, this knowing is the first and always path to redemption for ourselves. That as we are willing to see the truth and accept it and our part in it, and as we work to change what we can, we are watering the great tree of forgiveness. Our Bartholomew story this morning was the first part, right? The I'm sorry part. Sometimes I'll just speak for myself. I have a hard time with that one. Even for those things for which I am truly regretful, the words I'm sorry can be slow in coming. But as we are forgiven, we have to forgive this world as well, that and know that it is not passive acceptance, but tilting at what is real and can be changed, even as we know that is not everything. Let us not be held prisoner to our own expectations, but receive this life with open eyes and feisty resolve, our own unblinking witness. This day is fragile, and soon it will end, and once it has vanished, it will not come again. So let us love with a love pure and strong before this day is gone. So may it be, friends, and amen.